with everyone else who has a net worth of $1,055,337 or more, then hope is perhaps not what you need the most, at least not from an objective perspective. Of course, we hear, some progress is being made. Some nations and regions report quite astonishing reductions in CO2 emissions, or at least in the years since the world first started negotiating frameworks for how we manage our statistics. But how do all those reductions hold up once we include our total emissions, rather than carefully managed territorial statistics? In other words, all those emissions that we so successfully negotiated out of these figures. For instance, outsourcing factories to distant parts of the world and negotiating emissions from international aviation and shipping out of our statistics. Which means that we not only manufacture our products by using cheap labor and exploiting people, we also erase the associated emissions, emissions that have, in reality, increased. Is that progress?
That was Greta Thunberg reading from the climate book just out from Penguin. We are out of time. I'm Alex Smith. Tune in again next week. Thank you for listening and caring about our world.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO is hiring a full-time web coordinator. The web coordinator maintains the front end of KBOO's website, promotes episodes, does copy editing, and helps train staff and volunteers on various website features. For the full job description and instructions for applying, please go to our website at kboo.fm/webhire23. Applications are due at midnight on Thursday, March 9th. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer.
Tune in every weekday morning from 5:30 to 7 a.m. for variations on the theme of folk music during KBOO's Folk Strip. Each morning brings you a different DJ and a wonderful variety of acoustic and roots music, both traditional and contemporary. You'll hear the latest from singer-songwriters, happy jigs and reels, bluesy folk, a sea shanty or two, some old favorites, local artists and artists from around the world, a touch of Cajun, a dose of indie, and a smidge of jug band. It's probably the best way on earth to wake up. So let us start your day with a smile. Again, that's every weekday morning from 5:30 to 7 a.m. for KBOO's folk music programs.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.
Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope.
Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are examining our experiences to find positive fuel that will propel us forward instead of painful memories that will hold us back. Do you feel stuck, limited by your circumstances, unsure of how to let go, learn, and move forward? We've all been there and may be struggling in that place today. Mariah is here to share her story and her light with us. I hope you'll share it with others. Your past does not define you. It isn't the end of your story, but the beginning. No matter what you're dealing with, you will be inspired by Mariah, a heart for hurting. Have you ever had a good idea? You know, that thing that sounds fun, creative, meaningful, profitable, passionate, that inspiring idea? What did you do with it? Do you still have it, or did you talk yourself out of acting on it? Maybe it was a fun idea or business venture, but perhaps it was your passion and your purpose. Maybe it's still burning in you, begging you to bring it to life. What's holding you back? Catherine Pulsifer said, "Let your ideas and thoughts give you inspiration. All creativity comes from your imagination. You first imagine and then you create." Meet Mariah, a beautiful soul who was challenged, shaped, and then motivated to make a meaningful impact through her experiences. I'm so excited. Today I have a guest with me. I'm excited to introduce you to Mariah Roan. Mariah, say hi to everybody.
Hi, Kendall. I am so happy to be with you. You are one of my favorite people in the whole wide world.
Well, that's the best way to start an interview, of course. But Mariah is joining us for a number of reasons. I'm very, very inspired by her life and everything that she's done. And it's just a great chance to get together, kind of talk through some of her past and some of her present and kind of where she's going. She's been inspirational to me. We actually have a little history together. We're friends. We're soul sisters. But so I just wanted to introduce Mariah to kind of give you just my background. Obviously, she's got a big background that brought her to where she is today, but we're going to talk about that. Mariah is a certified alcohol and drug counselor, but that's not all she is. But we are going to learn about what the CADC means to her. It is a big thing in a big need for us today. She has spent 225 hours on that certification, and that's really digging into not only patients that struggle with substance abuse, but also their families, inpatient, outpatient. There's a lot that goes into that. But Mariah is an entrepreneur, and she's done all kinds of things. So we're going to learn about her current venture, what she's doing with her counseling, moving forward, and how she's impacting people of all places, all stops on their journey. So Mariah, let's get started. And I just want to talk about why now? Like, what brought you to here? What led you to kind of where you are today? Just give us a background.
Well, how long's your show, Kendall?
We'll stay all day for you, of course.
Yeah, like you said, I'm into a lot of things, but the CADC and counseling, that's a big part of my history. So a little bit of background. I grew up in a house with my mom, who was an amazing mother, but she also struggled with addiction. And my dad was there too, and he was just the biggest Christ-like influence on my life that I could have ever asked for. So my mom was strong in her faith too, but she definitely had her struggles. So growing up, I had two very different paths to take. My dad didn't drink at all, and I followed in my mom's footsteps for a while and definitely started out down that path. But as I grew up, I saw that wasn't going to lead anywhere. So I made a quick 180 and got into addiction counseling.
That's amazing. So you actually saw that, you know, as a young woman, you know, obviously we're going to dabble around and do different things and push the barriers as we always do. Mm-hmm. And so you felt yourself going down that path. So you pulled back and decided to get not only help for yourself and understanding for yourself, but to be able to help others.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was not probably until my early 20s. You know, my mom started drinking with me at a pretty young age, and I had older sisters. So it was kind of just normal in our house, you know. And then my mom got diagnosed with cirrhosis when I was probably 18. Mm-hmm. And that kind of started to open my eyes. And then walking through that with her really had an impact on, like, okay, what am I going to do here? You know, I see what this can lead to, and is that the life that I want? And about the same time, I was graduating college and trying to figure out what I was going to do. And God placed me in a supervised living site for people with mental illness and addiction. And even though that wasn't what I had planned to go into, kind of where I found myself, and it really just worked out well because I was then able to help my mom during her end stages of cirrhosis.
That's wonderful. How do you think, as you just mentioned, helping your mom, what do you think that that training did? Like, how did that change your relationship with your mom, and how were you there to support her that way?
Oh my gosh, it gave me so much more empathy. I had no empathy before for her. I was just, I had no understanding of addiction. I didn't look at her as having struggles. I looked at her as, you know, why doesn't she ever remember what I say? You know, not recognizing that it was blackouts, or, you know, looking at other people's moms and wanting the relationships that they had, whenever now in hindsight, I'm just like, wow, she was such a good mom in spite of her addiction. Like, everything that she was going through, she still showed up. She was still loving. Like, we still had amazing memories. And so those are the things that I like to look back on.
That's great. I think you're right. Of course, Mariah and I actually met at inpatient. We were both working there instead of actually there. So I was volunteering with leading a group there called Women Connect, and I connected with Mariah as well. But I think you're right. That's one thing. Being able to listen without judgment is a big thing, you know, and being able to actively listen and show compassion and empathy and realize that, you know, judging someone, belittling someone, that's not helpful. That's not helpful.
Not at all. No.
No, and from our angle, the benefit of, you know, we weren't wronged. This is not a family member of ours, so we're not frustrated and we're not at wit's end, and we've got a little bit more space for compassion. And you can, you know, really turn somebody around by just reaching that point of encouragement. You know, sometimes that's all someone needs. And of course, being a woman of faith, you prayed with them, and in many cases, really introduce them to God and Jesus and how to take another path, right?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's familiar with the 12 steps. So that was always incorporated, and, you know, just surrendering and finding your peace and God's will for your life. I mean, that's the biggest success stories that I saw, was whenever people would surrender and just say, I can't do it on my own.
That's right. That's right. I had a discussion with somebody about that first step, surrender. And it's difficult in today's world when we talk about empowerment and you can do anything you want. You're independent. You could do this by yourself. And so for some people, they think surrender is failure. Like, I'm failing. So I finally gave up and said I'm a loser. But surrendering is really coming to that place of understanding that I can't do this alone. I will need help to do this. And if we're in this power struggle, how are we ever going to move forward if we continually think we can do it all?
Yeah. And most of the time people come to that place because they've tried to do it on their own. So it's not that you are a failure. It's that what you've done hasn't worked so far. So why not admit that, like, hey, maybe I don't know it all. Maybe I can't do this on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that's a huge passion of yours, but things have kind of changed in your life. So you're not inpatient counseling anymore. Is that correct? What kind of led you to leave that path?
Yeah, that's right. So my husband is a attorney and he has his own law firm, and we kind of move around with that. So it was hard to maintain a full-time job in an inpatient facility, but I do still pick up shifts. I'm still on their PRN list, so whenever I'm in the area, I can go back and work. But because we've been traveling, we started a couple other ventures. We Airbnb our houses. We're originally from St. Louis, so we have a place in St. Louis and then a place in Southern Illinois, and right now we're in Florida for the winter. So I'm not mad about that.
I bet you are not mad about that. That's exciting. That is so exciting. But you have another venture too. So I'm pretty sure, did you start this during the shut in, when we were all shut in, is that when you got inspired to start your website?
Yes. Yeah. 2020 was, I think, the year of blogs.
It was. Well, it was, I think it was the year of venture. And I like that because, you know, you could either sit there and twiddle your thumbs and get mad and frustrated, or you can say, hey, what can I do? And I, you know, you started that and I knitted about 250 hats. So, so let's see. Yourprayingfriend.com. Is Mariah's blog.
I am your praying friend. Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about the inspiration for that. How did you come about?
Yeah. That's a funny question because I can't really pinpoint when I came up with the idea, but yeah, it was in 2020. And I just think that I knew there was a need for prayer and I always saw it in the inpatient rehab. Like I said, that's where I would see big changes in people's lives whenever they started seeking God. And I was like, you know what? I think I can reach more people than just my little area here. Let me see what I can do online. And from there, I now do individual counseling online. That website, it's just full of resources, things that I've done in counseling that I've made available to people, anybody that visits. So I really have a heart for the families of people with addictions because that was the position that I found myself in. So I think I can relate with that the most. But also having counseled hundreds of people that have addictions, I think, you know, I can understand both roles. So the website's geared mostly towards that. A lot of the resources have to do with addiction, but it's anybody just struggling, you know, just needing prayer. There's a prayer request tab on there. You can reach out, send me an email. I'm happy to pray with people. I'm happy to set up individual counseling online. I have a heart for the hurting. So if you're hurting, I want to pray with you.
Oh, I love that. A heart for the hurting. And so you have, it's not only where you take prayer requests, but you also do a blog, and that's basically different topics of counseling techniques and things that you've had to, or that you've dealt with. And so how often do you publish a blog? Is this a weekly blog?
So I feel like I have enough content on there now that it's, I've built up just resources and, like you said, things that I've done in counseling. So I don't blog as much as I used to because, you know, I started another venture. Journaling is, like, I promoted that a lot in my blogs, like how beneficial journaling can be. And I just started creating my own journals. So being a counselor in an inpatient rehab, I had access to tons of workbooks and resources that I would always give to my clients. But I always wanted to incorporate prayer and, you know, just spending time with Jesus. A lot of times journaling, you know, if you ask somebody to write down their thoughts or their feelings, they just have a blank piece of paper. Like, nobody's really into that anymore, or so far that I've encountered. But if I give journal prompts or like a prayer prompt or a scripture, then I find that people are a lot more responsive. So all of my books are meant to be interactive.
Yeah, I love that. And so if you missed that, she actually created her own journal. So this is your design, your pages. Mm-hmm. You got it all printed. They're on Amazon.com. They're on yourprayingfriend.com. You can go there and you can order them. And so they're really interactive. They help you. So what would you say is the benefit of journaling? If it was your elevator pitch on the benefits of journaling, what would you say?
So the favorite of mine is gratitude journaling, because I just find that a grateful heart can't be angry. It can't be resentful. It can't be sad. So whenever we're practicing gratitude, it's really hard to sit with any of those other difficult emotions. I feel like, you know, even if you find yourself getting stressed out, you start counting your blessings and all of a sudden your mood changes. So that would be my pitch. Like, hey, you know what? Just start with gratitude journaling. If you want to start somewhere, if you're like, I can improve on one thing, make a list of five things you're grateful in the morning. And that's it.
I love that. I think you're exactly right. And, you know, sometimes we've said it before, you know, you have all these things happen great during the day, and then one negative thing comes along and it's all you can think about. So journaling gratitude just reminds you of all those things that you might have overlooked at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you feel about this, but journaling is not a diary. So what I mean by that is I found that people, and myself included, so a diary you feel like is in this chronological order, and you miss a day and then you feel, well, I got to go back and I got to catch up the last 3 days. And then I got to, you know, and you feel like if you don't, if especially if you write up at the top, Monday, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know what I mean? And you skip Tuesday, Wednesday. And then by Thursday, I don't want to do it because I got to catch up 2 days. So what do you tell, has that been an obstacle that people, or an objection people bring up?
Yeah, and I think that's why I designed mine the way that I do. Like, it's not just, I mean, I have just notebooks, so if that's your thing to just write your feelings and get your emotions out, by all means, if it works for you, do it. What I found is that most people need a prompt. So there's, you know, what challenges are you facing and what have you learned from it? You know, just simple things like prayers, like, God, help me to love people the way that I want to be loved. You know, let me be a light in somebody's life today. So it's short things typically, and it's just a reflection, like, what can I do for my neighbor? What can I do for my friend? Or if I'm in a difficult situation, what would I say to a friend that's going through that situation? So it's kind of just thought-provoking things that get you to work through whatever struggle you're facing.
I love that. You're exactly right. Those prompts are fun because you can sit down again, almost have that stage fright when it goes to write something down. I don't know. I think we should collab. We need an encouragementology journal with the different challenges.
I'm here for it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I love that idea. Well, I love that idea because I think that, you know, there's those therapeutic pieces that you can actually use, are tools in your toolbox that you really, really need. And, you know, we talk about, I can't even tell you the amount of articles with ideas that I have curated over the years that all say gratitude and meditation. And I almost feel like, oh my gosh, if I say that word again, people are going to choke me. But we have to look at it differently because we can make a lot of these blanket statements like journaling. You need a journal, you need it. But if you don't really know, like to your point, what you're getting out of it and what you're doing, then it's not going to be therapeutic. You know, it's not going to be helpful. It's just going to be one of those other things on your list that you didn't do, right? And now you feel guilty for it. So I love that. I gave, I had a friend who was attempting to write a letter. This is another way that you could use journaling. And she was really mad. And I said, okay, let's write this letter like you're packing for a trip. Pack everything you can think of, all the shoes you want to bring, everything. Now, go back and unpack what is not necessary and then send it to me and I'm going to unpack some more, right? So I think journaling lets you get out everything that you really wanted to say when you can't say it, right? So that's just another.
And I love what you just described. I'm probably going to have to write a blog post about that now. That is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unpack it. Stop carrying around those burdens for sure.
Oh, because that will taint everything that you do when you just carry that burden into it. It's the, you know, it's the past experience burden instead of walking into something just kind of clean and clear and ready to go. So
they're heavy. They weigh us down.
That's exactly right. So you are now, in case they missed that too, you are now counseling one-on-one. So whether that is someone needing help with journaling, praying, addiction, whatever that may be, a friendly person to talk to, somebody that's been there and has so much experience by working with so many different people. And can they get in touch with you on yourprayingfriend.com?
Yes. So there's a connect page on there, or I think the email's on every page. So anywhere you click, you should be able to find me.
And you have Instagram, you have Facebook. You have all of the above.
Yes. Good. Yeah. Instagram, I post a daily Bible verse every day. And then Facebook, we have a group called Your Praying Friend. So just inspirational things, motivating things, encouraging, all the good things that you need from supportive friends.
That's wonderful. And I don't want us to miss the fact that Mariah is a workout buff. I just want to tell you, she's incredibly fit. And she takes her exercise.
Don't oversell it, Kendall.
Come on. She takes her exercise and health very, very seriously. So tell me, that kind of works into your whole mantra, right? What would you say about how that's, you've got prayer, health, exercise, like how is that your trifecta?
Yeah, it's my coping skill, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that actually started at a really young age for me. So growing up in my house, it was unpredictable and there was a lot of fighting. So I really leaned on going for a run or just going to walk and just burning off that energy. And it is so beneficial. And we know that it improves our mood in general. So if we do it every day, you know, we're going to have those endorphins, that dopamine, those things that we are seeking unnaturally, we can get them naturally.
I love that. So you just work that into, it has to be a habit. You know, you just have to work it in. I'm preaching to myself because my listeners know I'm the absolute worst. So I'm going to try to take that. But I did have a friend tell me that she does prayer and yoga so that she does it, but like it's kind of a combo, right? Whether she would have gotten up and read a devotional or prayed in the morning, then she gets on her mat. So she's doing two things at one time. Do you do something?
Absolutely. I listen to worship music whenever I'm working out.
So. Nice.
Feed your soul while you're striving for a healthy mind and body.
I love that. That is so awesome. So, you know, hindsight is 2020. And when we look back and, you know, I love to give people just a little bit of inspiration, instill some hope, which is what encouragementology is all about. And, you know, if you could look back at little Mariah and give her any advice or anyone else that's kind of sitting there thinking, you know, I really want to make a change. We're not in a lockdown situation anymore, but I'm kind of ready for something. I need to find some purpose. I need to be, you know, find my passion. What would you say to that?
Yeah. So like you said, hindsight's 2020 and it's easy to look back and say, oh, would I have done that? I mean, I have plenty of things that I wouldn't have done and that I shouldn't have done. And, you know, it's tempting to say that I would change it, but at the same time, would I be where I'm at now if I changed any of that? Would I have learned the lessons that I've learned? Would I have gained the insight that I have? I think we learn the most in our struggles. So if you take away those learning periods, then I don't know what wisdom and knowledge you're going to really gain.
That's so true. So true. So what about somebody thinking, you know, I want to do something new. What would you tell them? How do they search and soul seek and try to get going?
Yeah, I think, so I was talking to my friend recently about purpose and just, you know, some people have just standout qualities. Like I look at my sister and she's amazing at art. She's so crafty. She could make anything. You know, I have other friends that can sing and just some people are just, they look like they just got all the talent. And you're just like, how did you get all of that? And for the rest of us that don't have anything that particularly stands out, you know, how do we find out what our purpose is whenever we're not like extraordinary at something? So I think for me, it was just following God and his plan and his purpose, because as I've gotten older, I've had the opportunity to look back and see, man, he's been there every step of the way. When the times were the worst times I've ever gone through and I thought he left me, he didn't. Like those were the times that I was learning, and that's brought me to where I am. So if you're trying to discover your purpose, I would just encourage you to, if you have really good qualities or something that you're very talented in, follow that talent, like build on your strengths. But if nothing really sticks out, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to try things. self-doubt and fear of failure can really hold us back. So I think if we push through those uncomfortable situations, that a lot of times we'll discover what we were really made for.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. I love the extraordinary thought. You know, some people are so afraid just to take a step forward because they don't feel extraordinary or they don't see themselves that way. But there's so much in this world. Don't get caught up in all the social media and everybody, you know, looking like they're amazing. We all are unique and gifted and we have purpose. You're exactly right. I absolutely.
What do they say? Comparison is the thief of joy, right?
That's it. Comparison is the thief of joy. That is amazing. So I just wanted to recap too, because I don't want anybody to forget how amazing and extraordinary Mariah Roan is. You can visit her at yourprayingfriend.com. And there you can not only get a prayer request, you can also get access to her techniques and some of the feelings that she has, whether you're a family dealing with addiction or you're someone struggling with abuse, substance abuse yourself, and you're just not sure what to do and where to turn. Please go check out her website and you can get those amazing journals. They make great gifts. So they're available there. And I hope that you'll visit her on and follow her on Facebook and Instagram so you can see all the wonderful things she's doing. Thank you so much, Mariah.
Thank you, Kendall.
Very blessed to have you with me today. And I can't wait to watch what you do next.
Thank you.
So, so inspiring. Even though Mariah claims to be an introvert, she is full of joy and always at the ready to share it. She is hypersensitive to hurting people and will go out of her way to encourage and pray with those she encounters. Maybe you identified with her story. You too had a past and are unclear on how to move past the past and find inspiration. I describe purpose as a current. When you're in the current or following your purpose, things just flow and fit together.